But we're happy to be joined by the University of Kentucky coach, John Calipari. And, Coach, sources close to the Calipari family have told me that your wife's favorite player is one DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, don't tell the other players that. We're not on the air yet.
Oh, no.
This is the pre-interview, Coach.
Yeah, don't tell the other players. But, you know, and her thing was, like, after a game, would you quit yelling at him? I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're yelling at him the whole game. I said, are you watching him? And she'd go, well, like, no one else does anything wrong. Yell at somebody else. You're just yelling at him. And she, every time he'd come in the house, she'd give him a hug. And, you know, I love you, DeMar. I'm like, stop, man, stop. He is a great-hearted, emotional, want-to-win, you know, and at times frustrating, but you just love him.
Something tells me your wife wouldn't necessarily love sitting in the crowd with the Sacramento audience during some of these games over the past year. Because there's a lot of yelling in DeMarcus's direction.
Yeah, you know what? And let me say this. And I've said this so many times. Like, it was like when John Wall went to Washington, or, you know, all of a sudden John Wall was supposed to add 15, 20 wins. One player? Are you crazy? And it's the same there. I mean, he goes in and he's trying to figure out, these guys, when they come to the league, the first thing is, who am I? Like, what can I do? You think they just walk in and know. They don't know. So their first thing is, let me establish who the heck I am and what am I and what can I do? And then try to do it over 82 games when you're used to playing 35. Mm-hmm. And then you're having less practices and more games, and it's more about tape than being on the court videotape. I mean, you know, and now I knew, and I told Jerry Colangelo, if you put him on that USA team, he will be an all-star, because he's going to be around other really professional guys, and he's going to share and he's going to understand, and he'll do whatever he has to win. And it's proven true. And now it's just, you know what, you're putting the pieces together. And again, because you got three of my guys, I want Sacramento to win so bad. I wish it wasn't so far so I could come to. I got Phoenix and you guys. It's so far, I can't get to the games. But, you know, and Willie was in and spent time with us probably 3 weeks ago. He was in town. He played pickup with the guys and, you know, just happy with, you know, his progress. But, you know, this is when you take kids that are 19 years old. I don't know if you just heard what I said. 19.
Yeah.
Don't expect them to be 25. They're not 25. They're 19.
Yeah,
they do dumb
sense.
Things. They say dumb things. They, you know, they act like a 19-year-old, and some of them act like a 16-year-old. But it is what it is. They're young.
With flashes of a 12-year-old there mixed in
every once in a while. Yeah. Hey, Coach. You know, just listening to you talk and hearing about how your wife feels about DeMarcus Cousins, the most interesting relationship or connection that I've ever scene between coach and player is when you go to recruit them, you go into their home, you go into the living room, you meet their family, you see what they're all about. I've always been intrigued by that process. What is that like for you? And give me a comparison when you first started recruiting trips to what it's like for you now when you take that trip and go into someone's home to meet their family.
It's a great question. It's a lot different right now, but let me just tell you the thing for me. And I come from, my grandparents were Italian immigrants, did not speak English, came to Ellis Island. My parents are high school educated. I'm coaching at Kentucky, and I have a chance to help families and make a difference in people's lives. Come on, man. I mean, I just wanted to be a high school coach and a teacher. That's all I wanted to do. And it's kind of evolved into this. But when I walk in a home, I want to hear their story. I want them to tell me, give me your family history. And a lot of times there's crying. So what it does for me, when I say players first, I mean it. And someone will say, well, he doesn't care about winning. He only cares about getting guys in the draft. If that's your indictment of me, I'm pretty happy, even though it's not true, if that's what you're saying. But let me say this. In seven, we won more games than any team. We've been to more Final Fours. We won more league championships. We won the national title. So you can't say that. It's not true. But when you are in that home and you see that story and feel that story with the families, there's nothing that has more of an impact than being in that green room and now knowing that family can breathe for the first time in their lives. Now, if you're a lawyer and doctor or you went to private school, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But if you've been in generational poverty your whole life and your family has a chance to break through and change the whole direction of not only your families, but family, and so forth, educational-wise and every other way, to get a chance to live the American dream, let me tell you, that means more than anything, and that's what brings joy to me. Now, you ask me now, well, when I can walk in and say, you know what, we've had 20 players leave after a year and all 20 were drafted in the first round, and it's about $1 billion in salaries, and but we've also graduated 14 players in 7 years. We had three graduate in 3 years. We've had a 3.0 grade point average for six of the last 7 years. So it's more than that. It's about teaching servant leadership. It's about preparing them to play great in that league. And you have to admit, I can say, look at my guys compared to any other players. My guys are doing better than anybody. And so, you know, like I said, I don't mind recruiting because I get a chance to change lives. And can I just tell you, not everybody comes with us. Not they don't. Some of them get brainwashed before they come to meet with us. And some of them just want to score 30 a game. I mean, DeMarcus is still mad at me. I didn't let him score more. Still mad today. Every time he shoots a three, I didn't let him shoot threes. Every time he shoots a three, my face is in his mind. There you go. Okay. And so I even got to say this. We've had two players left this year and we're in the first round. So the 18 that left us after 1 year, you ready? Nine of them scored more in the NBA than they did with us.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
So they have to share. You have to come together. You have to be a good guy. You have to understand, like, he was with John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, Patrick Patterson. He was Darius Miller and DeAndre Ligon. I mean, he was with Marcus was. He had to share. And you know what he did? He shared. And when he needed to dominate, he did. But he trusted us and me that I had his back.
Coach, I'm curious about, okay, DeMarcus makes sense going early. Anthony Davis, you mentioned John Wall, even Willie coming here. All those guys go lottery. How about a guy like Scal who comes out here, picked by the Kings? How's that discussion where, yeah, there's money to be made. You're going to be a guy that's going to go in the draft, but we don't know if it's lottery or late, like the Kings got him at 28. How's that conversation?
Well, what I do at the end of each year is I, you know, when it's during the year, it's all about the team. We're not talking anything. I'm not worried about this. We're talking team and we're trying to win. The minute the year ends, I mean, that day, that evening, the next morning, we start talking about their future, which has nothing to do with the basketball program now. This is individually their future. With Scal, his background, if at some point you two want to cry, let him tell you about the earthquake that he lived through, thought he was going to die and his family would. Let him tell you the story. You'll cry. He came to the United States. Are you ready? He had a back issue. He played 1 year, like his ninth grade year. He didn't even play basketball those next 2 years, like to play high school organized coach. So now all of a sudden his first step is Kentucky. That's your first chance to get on the court where everybody's Super Bowl is our game. And you're now trying to learn all this, get in shape, get physically right, get mentally right, and with no let up. And you know what? That kid never quit. He never quit. He never blamed. He just kept trying. And you know what? It was difficult. And that shows me what he's going to be. And I'll tell you, I said to him, you know, what if you slip through the lottery? He said, Coach, I can do this. I'm built for this. What you guys did, if I can get through that, I can get through this. And so, you know, you sit there, and I was, you know, sick for the kid. You know, they had talked about 9, 10, 11, 12. But I will say this. If he had come back to school, Sacramento couldn't have gotten him. They would have never been able to draft him because he would have gone before. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, what you have is developing a player. You got some good size. You got another asset. He is like a stretch. I'm going to tell him he's got a new position. He's a stretch five. He's a stretch five who's 7 foot tall, Just, I mean, each year, each month, you're going to say, wow, he is really getting better. I think it's a perfect team to be on because you got those other bigs, and let him come on at his pace. He's 19. Don't act like he's 25. But I think he's a heck of an asset to get at that number.
Were you working on draft night to get him drafted, Coach? Were you talking to teams that night?
Oh, yeah. You know I was.
You talk about scout slipping. I want to ask you about Jamal Murray. Now, Coach John Calipari is joining us here on the Lowdown. I know you love your players, but yeah, I heard you talk many times going into the draft how great you thought Jamal Murray was and how high you thought he should go. Did it bother you that he didn't go until 7?
Well, you know what's great about it? It didn't bother him. Look, I want these kids to all be drafted 1, 2, 3, 5. I want them all in the top 10. Because now those teams are absolutely invested. They got to make it work for that kid because they look bad. That's why I like him in the top 10 picks. He could have cared less. If you sat at the table, he said, Coach, stop it. I'm good. And so now he ends up going to Denver. And again, I said it from day one. I thought he was the safest pick because his age, he's 19, because his body, 6'5", and his strength, okay, size 17 shoe, big hands, his ability to score the ball, I believe he'll be the leading scoring rookie this year, all right, because, and again, unless Denver doesn't play him, and I believe they will, that's what I said. Guys that went before him, you know, and they want to talk about Scow's number, the one kid that played at, I think, in Israel averaged 3 points and 2 rebounds. Well, what about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one said, well, that's different. Well, it ain't different.
Yeah.
You know, he averaged less than Scow averaged. And I would say there were guys that went in front of Jamal, and they were older, which tells me there may be a team or two that's thinking, look, man, we got to bust through. And we need an older guy that's more ready right now, which is fine. But, again, he went 7. I was hoping he'd go 3 or 4. But I've had to sit through that. And, again, I was on the phone with that one. I was on the phone with Tyler. I'll tell you what, Phoenix getting Tyler Ulis, are you crazy? I mean, at 34 and for Tyler, you guys know because you know the league, you're better off going 34 than 29, 28, 30 because you're locked into a 4-year deal at those numbers. He just signed for 2 years in Phoenix for almost as much as those guys were signing for, but they're locked into 4. And if he comes out and plays well, he'd get a $50 million deal in 2 years or more. So, you know, it played out. Plus, he gets to play with Devin Booker. And let me say this. They will live together. They will eat together. They will travel together. That's two peas in a pod, those two.
Hey, Coach, how much pride do you feel or how great is it when they bring that NBA game back to Kentucky and you see your boys playing for NBA teams and they're back in Kentucky doing that?
Well, we bring them back for alumni games, and they come back to sign autographs. They'll never stop that. They get low on cash. They're coming right back to Lexington, to Kentucky, to sign autographs somewhere. But these kids, everybody talks about, well, you know, they're only there 1 year. I want to know and meet any player that's more loyal to their program than my guys. And these guys come back, and let me tell you something. They are in touch with our current players, last year's players. You know, when Eric Bledsoe hit Tyler Ulis, you know, during the draft. Don't worry about it. You use it as fuel. I mean, these guys watch and they want us to do well, and they stay on top of it. And, you know, it's great to see them. I don't know if you watched Carl Towns win the NBA skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Anthony and DeMarcus are jumping on him and they're pushing Draymond Green out of here. You ain't part of this. Get out of here. John Wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're all in there. And it's really good to see and know that they all went through the same thing. They all sacrificed for each other. They all gave up a little bit of their game for the good of all of them. And they know now it didn't hurt them. And they learned a great lesson. And that's what's great to see.
You know, Coach, I'm going to shift gears for a quick sidebar of a question here. I spent about 12 years of my life covering horse racing in addition to other sports. You've been to Keeneland. These guys have not. Tell them what it's like at Keeneland.
Keeneland is, it's an event. You know, when they have that stuff in that Keeneland, what is it, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 weeks. That's about it, yeah.
I mean, it basically shuts down our town. And the grounds are gorgeous, and it's, you know, everybody's in there, and they're spending days. And it's different than going to the Preakness or the other. This is for 2 weeks. This is a long time, and it is unbelievable. The way, you know, everybody's, you know, I'm into horses, even though I have, you know, the same comment, you know, if you want to get into horses, it's the quickest way from being a billionaire to a millionaire.
There you go.
I mean, these guys are investing in this stuff. So I'm not into the horses that way, but I enjoy the environment.
Well, Coach, before we let you go, can you explain the poop and the ice cream?
I'm sorry, what?
The poop and the ice cream.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a story real quick. I had a kid I called in at University of Massachusetts, and he kept screwing up, and he was doing stuff. And I called him in. I said, I'm going to make this clear to you. There's a bucket of ice cream, and there's a bucket of poop. You could put all the ice cream in that poop you want. It's not changing. That's poop. But if you put one pinch of that ice cream in that poop, or that poop, I'm sorry, the poop in that ice cream, it's ruined. That ice cream is ruined. And I looked at him and I said, son, do you understand you are the poop in our ice cream? That's what you are.
There it is. Hey,
that
was
my poop and ice. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
You're ruining my ice cream sundae, son.
After listening to Coach Calipari, I'm convinced every Kentucky player is going to the Hall of Fame.
And I want to go to Kentucky.
I want to go to Kentucky. Yeah. Coach, I got some eligibility left.
Let's do this.
I might
let's
be the poop in the this. Ice cream. Yeah. We appreciate
you. I got a 5.5-year-old son who has really big feet, Coach, so you're going to want to make a recruiting trip to our house. He's 5.5 years
listen,
old. He has
I'm,
huge
I'm
feet.
I'm winding this career down. He better be one and done if he's five. Yeah.
We appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much, Coach, for your time.
Thanks, guys.
All right. University of Kentucky coach John Calipari. If you listen to that interview, in its entirety, and if you didn't, go to khdk.com here in a little bit and listen to it. There is no question why he gets the guys he does.
Yeah.
I was hyped. Scal Labissiere is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He will be the greatest player in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
Hey, listen, let me tell you a story. I mean, he's a salesman, but he's good at it. And he loves his guys. There's nothing phony in the way that he approaches it. He's like, one and done, I'm going to make you rich.
You asked about recruiting.
Yeah.
He just recruited us.
Yeah, sure did.
He recruited everyone listening to this to love Scal Labissiere, to love every single player that comes out of that Kentucky program.
Yeah.
I would love to hear recruiting stories. I would love to hear, because you can't necessarily tell them on the radio.
Right.
But I'd love to hear, okay, when you went to someone's house, whose mom made the worst meal for you?
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, who's like made like the craziest thing? You're like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? This is amazing.
You know the way human nature is, we're all built this way, unfortunately, where you can have all the success, but you know there's one or two that got away from him that eats at him.
Still mad.
Like, oh, I had this player and I didn't get him.
Well, he mentioned like there's some guys that are already brainwashed before I get there.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't tame them, can't turn them.
But
can't
that
change
is, them. When he said that, the description too is so true. I remember that from All-Star Weekend when Carl Anthony Towns won the skills and like DeMarcus is in there and John, and it's like that's our community, that's our little fraternity of Kentucky guys. Get out of here, Draymond Green. I mean, I know you're big, but no, this is Kentucky,
and
that you can't separate that.
Yeah,
and the Kings are filled with Kentucky players.
He knows how to turn it on, man.
He does. I mean, he started selling me on that Booker, Ulis, Bledsoe, Devin
Booker,
son. Like, they're gonna
like Kings.
Title.
Hey, Vlade. Go get Devin Booker. Get him on. No, he's a really good player. Oh, man, he's so good.
He's the future there in Phoenix, right? He's the
part of it.
He's the guy.
He might be. You know, it'll be.
That was awesome.
It was. It'll be great to see. I don't want to say it'll be great because that's not. It'll be interesting to see what Phoenix does. They have their young coach, their young roster,
right,
and a couple of bucks to spend.
But you know,
are they an intriguing place to play is the question. Can they attract free agents?
Yeah.
What will they be able to do over the course of the next few days? Free agency starts in 7 hours.
You know what? I'll bet you some money that if the Kings somehow, by the grace of God, make the playoffs this year, Coach would be here to see that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Coach would fly here
to
see
that.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? When we were talking about that, as we were kind of going around trying to figure out how, you know, because the truth is, what did we ask? Four questions?
Probably, yeah.
And I think he talked for about 15 minutes, yeah, and we asked him four questions.
If that.
So it was like, I was like, well, we're going to have to wrap this up. I don't want to keep him on too long. I know he's doing a bunch of interviews. But he was talking about not being able to get out here because it's so far. The only thing that was running through my mind is would Vivek would personally get on his private plane, fly to pick you up, and then fly you back here to make sure you saw whatever game you wanted to see.
I think he would, absolutely.
I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Confirmed.
I'm very well. I asked him, you know, we asked him if he was making calls on draft night. I should have asked him, how many people were calling you
on
draft night?
Well, I know you brought up the value, and there's got to be value to that. This year it's the Pelicans, the Kings and the Wizards are going to do it
Pelicans
again.
Pelicans so, before.
Yeah, but that's John Wall and the three Kings that are Kentucky guys. That just validates what they do. And to have all those guys come back, he's like, yeah, if anybody's broke, come back here and sign autographs.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. They know how to get their money.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about the Lexington.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Right.
Big Blue Nation.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that competes with that is horse racing.
In Kentucky?
It's the only thing that's close. Big Blue Nation
is still tops. I get the feeling you like horse racing.
It's all right.
It's all right. We'll come back. We'll reset everything. Hour number three coming up next here on Sports 1140 KHDK.